This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, Joe. 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Where you at? It's Dan Day. Social media at Dan Day Radio. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the whole 9 yards. Going to get you the whole 10 yards with the Joe Rose Show in just a few minutes. Talking to ESPN's and Miami's own Jeff Darlington. All things NFL. Greeny touching base with Daryl Moose Johnston. Talking Cowboys, football, and all types of other goodies. Then Hawk and Crowder betting on basketball. And some Myers Leonard and Papa John's. Oh, yes. Right now, though, let's do the headlines. The Heat have condemned Myers Leonard's anti-Jewish comment while playing a video game the other day. The injured center has been suspended indefinitely. Chris Bosh and Tim Hardaway are finalists for the Basketball Hall of Fame. Other nominees include Paul Pierce, Chris Webber, and Ben Wallace. Sergei Bobrovsky's 40 stop shots in goal helped lead the Panthers to a 4-2 win over Columbus. The two play again tomorrow at 7. The 8th-ranked Miami Hurricanes baseball team defeated 20th-ranked FAU yesterday 11-2. They resume ACC play Friday against Wake Forest. Spring training baseball for the Marlins continues today as they'll face the Astros in just about 5 minutes. Inner Miami coach Phil Neville says Rodolfo Pizarro will have a larger role with the team this season. Inner begins MLS play in mid-April. Gonzaga continues their unbeaten streak as they defeated BYU in the West Coast Conference Tournament Final yesterday 88-78. The Zags enter the NCAA tournament at 26-0. And now, let's take a step into the day spa. A 17-year-old boy in New Zealand recently spent 36 straight hours on a swing. Sure, he's a real lady killer, that one. An Ontario gym owner did 879 chest-to-ground burpees in an hour to break a record. I know how I'd feel after that. One word. Dead. A Juno Beach waitress received a $1,300 and $1,500 tip from separate customers in the same night. This has me wondering, waitress or escort? Neighbors of a noisy couple in Great Britain penned a letter to their doormates, letting them know that the walls are paper thin and their sounds are traumatizing their children. Why write a letter? Just sit back and enjoy. Let's enjoy some Joe Rose. He's Zach Krantz Hollywood. Get you going in the morning. They're talking with Jeff Darlington. Cutting up like nobody else. Talking football, Dak drama, free agents, likable Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and what are we going to do with Tua?
Bangy dangy. I didn't see you got franchised yesterday by ESPN. Are you upset by that? Your first comments.
Yeah, you know what? We're pursuing a long-term extension, so I'm not really too concerned about it. Actually, that's not even true. I'm completely kidding. I have no idea. I might get laid off tomorrow.
Don't say that. You know
don't
what?
Don't say that.
No, why'd you have to go there with everything going on? You're not going anywhere. By the way, Dak Prescott.
My friends all say that I'm eventually going down, like for something I said. You know, like something I'm going to say.
No.
I'll be one of those guys. And everybody will be like, yeah, you know, like like the general public will be like, yeah, we didn't see that coming. And then all my friends will be like, yeah, we kind of did.
Just stay
up. It won't be anything like mean-spirited. It'll never be anything mean-spirited. It'll be something, it'll be something. Yeah, say some bad
just don't word. Play. Hey, Jeff, just don't play video games on Twitch. That's all we're asking. Right. Just be
yeah, but I would never, I would never say like those words. I'll just say something that's like
those words.
It'll offend somebody in some form. It just won't, offend a general mass of people.
Yeah, I think it'd be small if you did. Hey, nothing small about Dak Prescott. Holy smokes, the guy waited from last year and ended up beating Jerry Jones across the board. Were you surprised at all?
I was surprised it got done, to be honest with you, but only because I had just thought that they had reached this point where the bridge was too wide. And I'm still sort of surprised that the Cowboys ended up this is what I expected Dak to demand. I just didn't expect the Cowboys to give it to him. And that's why ultimately I thought that it would extend to that July deadline, and then that July deadline would pass, and Dak would play this year almost as like a lame duck, knowing he's going into free agency. Like almost what happened with Kirk Cousins 7 years ago. So I guess I'm happy for Dak. I'm just sort of surprised that the Cowboys were willing to pay him as much as they ultimately did.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting situation there in Dallas when it comes to if they were going to fully pay him or not or let him go another season on that franchise tag.
Yeah.
Outside of the franchise, well, speaking of the franchise tag in general, anything surprise you yesterday with the guys that were franchised or guys that weren't franchised around the NFL?
Not really. The thing, especially from a South Florida perspective, I think that's what Dolphins fans care about more. But even nationally, I thought the wide receiver position was going to be the most interesting when it came to the tag. Kenny Galladay out of Detroit ended up not getting the tag, which I'm sure Dolphins fans are very aware of and paying close attention to. But Allen Robinson with the Bears gets the tag. I foresee drama there. I can't see him playing on the tag this year. Could see that going the way of a Le'Veon Bell situation. I'll be curious. I'll be watching that one closely. But those are probably the ones that I was paying most attention to. The rest kind of felt, for the most part, like bookkeeping. Chris Godwin, that was the other wide receiver that got tagged by the Bucs. That seemed anticipated as well, and he seems like he'll gladly play under it. But from a Dolphins perspective, looking at those talents, Galladay is a guy that I'm sure that they'll have an eye on. But also, if Allen Robinson for some reason were available in a trade, kind of a tag and trade situation, he's a pretty awesome talent as well.
You know what surprised me? I thought Shaq Barrett would get the tag. I was totally wrong as one of the top pass rushers who was unbelievable in the playoffs. Did that surprise you?
No, only because I thought the Bucs were in a good situation where they could use the tag almost the way it's supposed to, in a way that might not be true, but the strategic way of being able to say, look, we could tag a number of guys, so we'll use this as almost like, look, if we're not close on a long-term deal with this guy, we'll tag this guy and we'll try to get closer. For Shaq Barrett, he was tagged last season as well, so he would have gotten a 20% bump. Now, you could argue he's still worth that, but you could tag Godwin, get him for a year. He kind of already made clear that he'd play under it without any kind of drama. So, and then you work towards the long-term deal with Barrett. I think ultimately a long-term deal with Barrett will get done.
You do?
The other one got done with Levante. Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
I mean, I think so. They got it done with Levante David. Shaq Barrett wants to stay in Tampa. I'm not saying he's going to give a hometown discount, but let's put it this way. I don't think it's one of those things where he's going to hit free agency and just say, I'm looking to leave and looking to get paid. Like, I think that that's a good marriage between the Bucs and Barrett, and I think that they will make very good faith efforts toward making something happen there.
Jeff, I'll say one thing. Boy, the Tom Brady factor this offseason has stirred up more crap with Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson, and they're all sitting back watching him put together his team, run the offense the way he wants, and they're going, that's all we want. We want to be a little involved like Tom is.
It's a fine line, right? Like, Tom did something that sort of, like, invoked this free spirit within a lot of these quarterbacks to where they say, like, look what he did. He was in New England. He was a fixture there for 20 years. Everybody said he's crazy to leave, that he won't succeed if he goes somewhere else, that he's a product of the system. And instead, Brady leaves, and beyond just the success he had on the field, I think I could make an argument that Tom Brady has never been more popular. I think that people, and I'm sure there's people rolling their eyes listening to this right now that don't like Brady, but I still think there are a lot more people right now like him more than they ever did when he was in New England.
Oh, I agree.
There was just something about this season that was a more likable Tom Brady.
Yeah, he wasn't in a Patriots jersey. That's why he was likable at that point.
That's fair. But also, that Patriot way, man, it stifles you. It stifles. It is intended to stifle your personality. It is intended to make you nothing more than a person behind a face mask, under a helmet. And that's okay, but ultimately when you are playing for a dynasty that is caught up in so many different controversies, you are never going to get the benefit of the doubt with the public when you're just a guy behind the face mask. And I think that Brady did a good job of sort of revealing himself to be, you know, he's still got his quirks. He's still got his things that, you know, annoy the general public. But generally speaking, people are saying, man, how can you not at least appreciate what this dude is doing?
Especially in his 40s. You're right. And by the way, you said something about Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson kind of going through that same relationship a little bit. It looks a lot alike, huh?
Yeah. So, not necessarily, this is my point. I think you're talking about what I said on NFL Live. I think it was Get Up, one of those shows, you know. And I said, it's not necessarily the thing that was going on with Belichick and Brady last year that sort of opened the public's eyes to sort of the dissension within those ranks. But rather, like 6, 7, 8 years ago, like Brady and Belichick went through some really frustrating times and always sort of have, but they figured out how to evolve their relationship to where it didn't have to be all overly friendly to be successful. Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson, in my opinion, are now going through that version of Belichick and Brady. The version of several years ago when Brady started to say, look, man, like you got to listen to me more. And Belichick sort of said, no, I don't really have to. Now, the difference, the reason I'm a little bit interested to see if Russ and Pete can make this work is because Tom Brady and Belichick had Robert Kraft almost as their marriage counselor, almost as their mediator, to step in and say, hey, Bill, Tom's our guy, make it work. Because if he wasn't there, I think Tom would have left a long time ago if Kraft wasn't there to mediate that. They don't have that in Seattle. Like, they don't have, first of all, you know, the late Paul Allen, right. He wasn't even that hands-on. And now they don't have anybody to sort of mediate it. So if they can't sit down and figure it out themselves, I don't necessarily see Sierra being the mediator there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how that's going to work.
Jeff, I got to ask you this. You brought up the wide receivers before. If the Allen Robinson situation in Chicago kind of stays put, he plays there for the year, is a good soldier, and just stays there, doesn't want to leave. And it's Galladay, Will Fuller, Juju, those top three guys maybe on the wide receiver market. What's going to be, you think, the price tag for those guys going forward in free agency if the Dolphins want to make a run at one of those three?
I mean, I think that market is now like, I think it's around like, you know, 20, 22 million a year. That was the vibe I was getting on Godwin when that was sort of percolating. And, you know, the tag ended up being, what was this tag? 16 million, I think.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Yeah,
I can't keep up with all that crap, man. Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that people still care about that?
It's 15.8 million for Godwin and Robinson 15, with that tag.
Yeah. I can't believe I knew that. I've come a long way.
You're doing
So from the tag standpoint, like, so that was a value because I really do think that these guys are going to get upwards of $20 million. So it's a heavy price to pay, you know?
All right. Well, let's jump into one that's always popular. And I feel bad for the kid because he's down here working out every day. He's trying to get the guys together. He's working on every part of his game. What are your thoughts on Tua Tagovailoa when I say it right now and going forward?
I get the sense that the Dolphins are rolling with him. Like, my sense is that. You know, I'm not saying that can't change, but I think that the Dolphins are saying, let's give this guy another season. Let's get some weapons around him. You know, I know there's a lot of people holding their breath about the potential of the Deshaun Watson thing. I personally, my vibe on the situation is they are not going to go that route. And I think that's okay. One of the things I was saying, or Rich Eisen or something, I was talking to him. He was asking for the temperature down here on Tua in South Florida. And I think the temperature locally is a little different than it is nationally. Like, I think nationally everybody's like, oh, Deshaun Watson upgrade because Tua didn't show it last year. But I think locally there seems to be, at least, and you guys know better than me, there seems to be a level of patience. Like, look, get this guy some weapons. His wide receivers were all hurt. He had no running game. And let's then see what he can do. I'm not saying everybody seems sold on Tua, but I think that down here, the sense I get talking to, like, just even just friends, is that even if they're not sold on him, they feel like they don't know enough yet. And I'm not saying they should go the 8 to 10 year route where they continue to try to figure it out. But another year of Tua doesn't feel like, I feel like without, you can do that, not mortgage your future, maybe trade out of that third pick to get more picks. And if Tua doesn't work out, at least you have the ammunition to trade up and get who you want. That Jeff, to me is.
Yeah. Jeff, I think you're right, by the way. I think most fans want Tua Tagovailoa to come back, load it up, and let's go see what he's got. I agree with you. I think.
Do you think that locally that they're sold on Tua, or do you think I'm right that it's more like we still think we deserve to find out?
I think it's a combo, but mostly, come on, man, give him a full year. Let's see what he's got when he's got a loaded deck and he's got an offensive line. It's got some more, you know, they played together.
Yeah. Which is crazy because that's a flip of the narrative that normally exists in South Florida, which is get this guy the hell out of here. Let's move on to the next guy while the rest of the country is saying, no, give that guy a chance. You know, it's a total flip. Like generally in South Florida, this is the impatient crowd with the quarterback. And with Tua, to me, it feels like they're more patient.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But I also do think the tease of Deshaun Watson is going to be the problem for Tua going forward.
That's the only reason. That's it.
Right.
If it wouldn't be this way if it was Russell Wilson. I don't think everybody would be like, how can we get Russ? I think it's just because it's a 25-year-old franchise league guy. And I understand that, by the way. Like, I get that. If you don't have an absolute fixture at the quarterback spot, like, I get why Deshaun Watson is so attractive. And, by the way, when you have the ammunition to be able to do it. So I get it. But if there's not Deshaun Watson unrest in Houston, we're not even having any conversation about whether Tua is the guy for next season.
Jeff, is Ryan Fitzpatrick starting in the NFL next year, start of the season? Does he find a starting job?
Sounds like that's up to him. I could see him finding a starting job, like whether it's in New England or, you know, like what's New Orleans. There's so much that has to like shake out that I could see it being a situation where come July, there's a team saying, you know, we like this guy we got in the draft, but you know, the Ryan Fitzpatrick cycle, you know, the standard cycle. So yeah, if he wants to continue to play, I think he could wind up starting some games this season.
Everybody loves that guy. It's incredible, man. He's one of the most popular damn
amazing
guys.
You know what's crazy, Joe, is I was thinking about this the other day. For a guy who is a Harvard grad, like, he's like a Harvard graduate who, you know, who makes millions in the NFL, yet seems so easy to relate to. It's like, it's so funny to me. Like, he is not, by resume alone, he should not seem relatable. But instead, he's the guy that everybody wants to root for.
Right.
I got to tell you, so the joke is, I used to come in every Monday morning and tell these guys, is Bo and I get out there early when we were on the field, and he would walk out, and it looked like he had 19 puppies behind him that wanted to sit next to him. They wanted to talk to him while he was throwing. And then seven guys from the other team all come over, and they want to talk to him for 20 minutes. Like, everybody wanted a Fitzy fix, man. It was unbelievable. Yeah. I was going, look
he's
at all the tight ends.
So interesting.
Mike Gesicki is like – I was like, poor Mike, if they ever get rid of Fitzpatrick, that's going to be a tough adjustment. That guy – that's his guy, and Devontae Parker, and I'm like, man.
I know, man. It's almost a little. Remember, like with Chad Pennington, and it's even more with Chad. It was the same thing where it was like, God, if this guy just had like a little, like if Chad Pennington had even an average like strength shoulder, that dude is a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? I don't know what it is with Fitzy. I don't know what exactly it is that he's missing. Quite honestly, like I really don't. Like, what is it that Fitzy's missing? Just like some tick in his brain that doesn't make him do something stupid every like 15 plays.
But I think guys like that aggressive style. Like, hey guys, I'm gonna let it rip. I ain't worried about throwing a pick.
I love it. I just don't know what is missing. What is it that keeps him from being like a franchise starter? What is it? Because I can't. He's like one of the few people I can't pinpoint it.
Yeah.
Hey, like, what is it? Is he just not elite arms? Like, he's got arm strength. Like, what is it?
It's just the consistency of those bad halves or that one bad game every four or five out that just goes, wow.
I know.
Everybody told me you were like this, and you're like this. So it's by the way, my great Chad Pennington story, he's the only guy in the history of the Miami Dolphins that had a party and every black and white guy went to the party. Unheard of in the NFL. You remember that?
That's
you remember
right. that? He was the guy that, like, you knew that he was different when Brandon Marshall was like, that's my guy.
Yeah. Like, by the way, that's a good barometer right there.
Joe Rose, he played for the Dolphins. Jeff Darlington covers the Dolphins like nobody else. You've got your football covered with those guys. And Greeny, he covers them all.
Well, I think it turned out as well as could be expected. I think that if everybody had this to do over again, that Dak Prescott would have been the first big contract that was extended a couple of years ago, as opposed to Ezekiel Elliott. So
Daryl Moose Johnson next on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. The Joe Radio Rewind, running back some of the best you've heard over the past 24 hours here on 560. I am Dan Day, and Greeny is your guy from 10 to noon. Always has some of the best guests right now. He's talking the Cowboys and football with legend Daryl Moose Johnson.
Cowboys legend, outstanding analyst from Fox Sports, and friend of the show, Daryl Moose Johnston, is with me on ESPN Radio. Hello again, Moose Johnston.
Morning, Mike. How you doing?
Great. Outstanding. Wonderful to have you, and you're exactly who I wanted to talk to about this. There has been so much conversation about Dak Prescott and will he or won't he, and will Jerry figure it out and won't he, now that it is all behind us. What do you think of it all? How do you think it turned out, and what do you think it does going forward?
Well, I think it turned out as well as could be expected. I think that if everybody had this to do over again, that Dak Prescott would have been the first big contract that was extended a couple of years ago, as opposed to Ezekiel Elliott. So I think at that time, you know, for me, that was going to make it very challenging. And that's even without us knowing what was going to happen to the salary cap going into 2021 because of the pandemic and there being a big reduction there. So you know, I think the fact that they were able to get this done, to make it work, to get him off the franchise tag, to have some flexibility, to start adding some other free agent acquisitions in the offseason to improve the defense or some other areas on the offense, was something that was pretty impressive. So it came down to the final hours, but I think there's a big sense of relief now that it's done. And now we move on to what the expectations are for Dak Prescott leading the Dallas Cowboys.
And what are those?
I think it's Super Bowl or bust. I just think that that's what the expectations have to be with the people that they've surrounded him with. You know, a lot of times when we get into the situation with a quarterback who wants to become the highest paid player at the position or gets into that top three, a lot of times there's not that supporting cast around him. But the Cowboys organization has done a good job of getting those players around him. You know, going after CeeDee Lamb last year, the development of Michael Gallup, you know, Amari Cooper, you know, having Ezekiel Elliott there. The big question for me going in will be the offensive line and the health of that. We saw what can happen during the course of the season if you have injuries in your offensive line with Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. So that will be the most important thing for Dak Prescott moving forward. But nobody's going to look to those situations where, hey, you know, here's why maybe it's not as good as it should be right now. I think that window of forgiveness is gone now with this type of contract, and it's going to be on his shoulders to carry this team regardless of what's happening around him.
Something that you just made me think of, and I understand this is a complicated question, but when athletes get paid a whole bunch of money, externally, the expectations change. And it just people think of them differently, look at them differently, they attach their salary to everything they do. Internally, is there any phenomenon like that? Like, will it change anything inside how much money he's making? Like, Emmitt Smith held out that year. He got all his money. Does anything change internally relative to relationships or expectations when a player gets the huge contract like that?
Absolutely not. You know, just from our experience, when Emmitt got his big contract, when Troy got his big contract, you know, you're happy for him. You know, that's just, it's all the hard work they've put in up until that point. To be rewarded in that fashion. So nothing really changes on the inside. It's kind of that same thing that everybody talks about with playoff football. You know, old playoff football, we're getting to that time of year where the games are more important. And they make it sound like guys are going to play harder during the playoffs than they've done during the course of the regular season. So it's kind of that same thing. When you get this opportunity to be, if not the highest paid player at your position in the NFL, but one of the top three, one of the top five, you're not going to start working harder. hopefully, if you've got the right guy, he's been working that way this whole time. If he hasn't, and you make him into that group, if you put him into that group with that type of contract, then that's not a very prudent decision by the organization. So I think everybody knows how Dak Prescott approaches every day. He wants to get better every single day. We've watched him improve. So the Dallas Cowboys know who they have in that person. And one of the most important things to me is a guy moving forward and being that face and the voice of the franchise. Dak Prescott is very well respected by his teammates, the way he works. The intangibles are off the charts. We've talked about this a bunch. He's just well-liked. And that's an important combination when you're talking about the person who's going to be the voice and the face of your franchise moving forward.
Darrell Johnston with me here. Is there no moment, probably jokingly, where when Emmitt gets that contract and he comes back from the holdout, you say, I run into that damn hole before you do every single time. I'm knocking people out of the way so it clears out for you. I need some cut of that. Is that a conversation that ever takes place, either seriously or not so?
It takes place, but completely not seriously. he's been so good to me. He's always spoke very highly of me. And he is very generous. I mean, our locker room at Christmas time was comical at points, with Troy, the generosity that Troy had for the offensive line and the people around him, and then Emmitt, and then Michael got in on it. We would walk into our locker room, the day that they were going to put all the gifts for their gratitude for how everybody else had performed during the course of the year. And the defensive players were so upset. They were so mad because nobody on the defensive side of the ball was doing that. So they'd walk in on the offensive side of the locker room. There's just all these gifts in everybody's lockers.
Wow. Oh, I love that. Greeny. And, that team, if I could just digress for a brief moment, how would you put into words what it was like being a part of that group? You got Troy, who's got his thing going on. You got Michael Irvin, who's God knows what he's got going on. You got Emmitt, he's a legend. You got Jimmy Johnson, who's one of the biggest personalities ever. Jerry Jones is in the office upstairs. You got a whole team full of those guys. At one point, Deion Sanders is there. That's one of the wildest bunches in every way that I could ever, maybe in, among them in football history. What was it like? How would you put into words what it was like to be a part of that group?
Oh, gosh, it was one of the greatest experiences you could ever imagine. In the way that you talk about all those guys and how big those personalities are, the common thread between all of them was the desire to win championships. And that's what made that group special. When you've got these huge personalities, all of them had a hard work ethic. All they wanted to do was win championships. And that's what you needed to have. So I think as fans and the media, you see the external part of what they bring to the locker room. You never got to see what was inside there, what the teammates thought of them. And, I still say, the dynamics of the triplets is created and made successful by Troy. Troy did not desire statistics. All he wanted to do was win. And that allows you to have the NFL's all-time leading rusher in the backfield with you because you can't accomplish that goal. Emmitt can't accomplish that goal if Troy's going to be statistically driven, to put up 4,000 yard seasons, 4,500 yard seasons back at that time. All he wanted to do was win football games. So he was the key to making the dynamics of the triplets work. But all those huge personalities, the best thing about all of them is all they wanted to do was win championships. And it was a mission. When we came up short on a Sunday, they were some of the first guys back into the facility Monday morning to try and figure out what happened the previous day and make sure that didn't happen again.
So interesting. What a fascinating group that was, actually. To your point, the most touchdown passes that Troy Aikman ever threw in a season was 23. And it is a great, to finish it on this thought, I think you will like this, that people who aren't old enough to remember those teams, who did not watch your Cowboys teams, people for whom football begins in their conscious lifetime right around the year 2000, they will look at Aikman's numbers and they will try and diminish what a great player he was because they're just looking at numbers. And I always tell them, and you can do it a trillion times better than I can, I always tell them, if you don't think Troy Aikman was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, you didn't watch him play, because he just was. The combination of the accuracy and the toughness, I don't care what the numbers are, if you watched him play, he was that good. And I'm sure you hear it now, right, from young football fans who will look at those numbers and say, hey, he doesn't put up numbers like all these guys who came after him. And maybe that's kind of the point that you're making here right now, Darrell.
Absolutely. You're spot on, Mike. I had people come up to me when he was up for the Hall of Fame nomination, you know, there was a lot of people that said he shouldn't have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. And I'm like, how can you say that? And they're like, well, look at the stats. The stats just aren't there. And at that time, I was like, listen, there's only one stat to me that's important for my quarterback, and that's winning championships. And he won 3 in 4 years. So end of discussion. You know, completions, touchdowns, that, yeah, hey, if that comes along with the championships, fine. But it was just, for me, that was the defining thing. And his leadership, just his work ethic, everything. I mean, he was the heart and soul of those teams. You know, we talked about some of the other personalities that were there. Everybody on the offensive side of the ball knew who the alpha male was. When Troy Aikman stepped into the huddle, it was his huddle. Even with all those big personalities that were out there on the field with him, he was by far our true leader, and everybody followed him.
The moose is loose. And up next, let Hawk and Crowder get loose.
He has to be gone for 20 months. But unless he's better at this than Papa John.
More fun from those guys minutes away here on 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. 560 The Joe Radio Rewind. Running back some of the best you've heard here on 560 over the past 24 hours. Hope you're doing well. I'm Dan Day, and you can't avoid the elephant in the room. Everyone seems to be talking about Myers Leonard. But first, Hawk and Crowder talk about betting on basketball. Then they talk about Myers Leonard and Papa John.
ACC tournament action. They've got Clemson. That game tips off at 2:30. And so we were going to bet it. Solana and Crowder and I, we were talking this morning, and it was Miami +9, and I didn't pull the trigger on it for some reason, and now it's down to Miami +8. Mm. I'd really like to get, I really don't want to give up that point, but I like Miami. I don't really feel like they're going to beat Clemson, but, you know, kind of our theory yesterday, Jim Larinago, keep them in the game. They ended up winning outright yesterday. They were underdogs. I feel like they can stick within 9. I'm less apt for 8.
8's still a big number, bro. In college basketball? Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I'm down, man.
It
like
is.
You're saying, Jim Larinago,
pull the trigger,
his experience. Yeah, man, his experience. He's been in, you know, the biggest games of the biggest games, and he'll figure out a way to keep it close. I'm with you. Do they win? I don't know. Do they win by less than or lose by less than 8? I think so.
Solana, you still in at +8?
I am. I am still in at +8. I feel good. I feel really good about this Canes team today.
Oh, all right. Then I'll pull the trigger on it before the game tips off at 2:30. There are three statements. We have a lot of stuff to cover today. There are three statements regarding Myers Leonard that I will touch on briefly, because obviously that was a huge bit of news yesterday. There was Myers Leonard's statement. He used the K word. He said, I am deeply sorry for using an anti-Semitic slur during a live stream yesterday. While I didn't know what the word meant at the time, my ignorance about its history and how offensive it is to the Jewish community is absolutely not an excuse, and I was just wrong. I am now more aware of its meaning, and I am committed to properly seeking out people who can educate me about this type of hate and how we can fight it. I acknowledge and own my mistake, and there's no running from something like this that is so hurtful to someone else. This is not a proper representation of who I am, and I want to apologize to the Arisons, my teammates, coaches, front office, and everyone associated with the Miami Heat organization, to my family, to our loyal fans, and to others in the Jewish community who I have hurt. I promise to do better and know that my future actions will be more powerful than my use of this word. That's one statement. Then there's the Miami Heat's official statement. The Miami Heat vehemently condemns the use of any form of hate speech. The words used by Myers Leonard were wrong, and we will not tolerate hateful language from anyone associated with our franchise. To hear it from a Miami Heat player is especially disappointing and hurtful to all those who work here, as well as the larger South Florida, Miami Heat, and NBA communities. Myers Leonard will be away from the team indefinitely. The Miami Heat will cooperate with the NBA while it conducts an investigation. And if past circumstances are any indication of how long he'll be gone, I'm guessing 20 months, right? Because that's how long it took Papa John. So he has to be gone for 20 months. But unless he's better at this than Papa John. Maybe he's better at it. I don't know. Who knows if Papa John took it seriously? Maybe Myers Leonard's taking it more seriously than him. So
Myers would dive straight in.
And then the other one, he's like, yes, counselor, can I turn this 20-month program into like an 8-week program? Is there a fast track? And then I love this statement. This is from Julian Edelman. Julian Edelman, a Super Bowl MVP and one of the rare superstar Jewish athletes. He tweeted out today an open letter to Myers Leonard. So we've never met, and I hope we can one day soon. I'm sure you're getting lots of criticism for what you said. Not trying to add to that. I just want to offer some perspective. I get the sense that you didn't use that word out of hate, more out of ignorance. Most likely, you weren't trying to hurt anyone or even profile Jews in your comment. That's what makes it so destructive. When someone intends to be hateful, it's usually met with great resistance. Casual ignorance is harder to combat and has greater reach, especially when you command great influence. Hate is like a virus. Even accidentally, it can rapidly spread. I'm down in Miami fairly often. Let's do a Shabbat dinner with some friends, and I'll show you a fun time. Julian Edelman. I think that is so perfectly said by Julian Edelman. Certainly wraps up my feelings on it. Look, I'm Jewish. Do I like hearing that word? No. Did it change my life greatly yesterday? No. Has this been uttered, not that word, but have slurs been uttered before by basketball players or athletes? Yes. Riley Cooper said the N-word and then went to his team, mostly African-Americans, apologized, and he was still on the team, still playing football. Hulk Hogan said the N-word numerous times in that video, and I believe he's wrestling still. I know he was off for a while, and then he was back. Yeah. Kobe Bryant used a homophobic slur on the basketball court. I think others have recently. It's something that you deal with, and you hope. I hope. The way I always go with this stuff is, I hope that people learn from it. I always look at the positive side.
Yep.
I don't feel like Myers Leonard should never work again in his life. He's the most hateful human and the most destructive Heat player in the history of the world. No, I don't feel that way. Again, I don't like hearing the word. And whatever the Heat deems the appropriate action, whatever the NBA deems the appropriate action, that's fine. It's not my decision to make. I just hope that people go, I wasn't aware. Not Myers, but other people now. I wasn't aware that that was so hurtful, or I wasn't aware that words can engender that type of response. And I hope that we all learn from it, become more tolerant. That's it for me.
And that's the same thing, too. And also, to add another guy, hit closer to home, was that video of Richie Incognito. With no shirt on, running around the bar, yelling the N-word, with his black teammates there with him, not checking him. So exactly to your point, Hawk, I like the guys that get checked, and for Myers to get checked by Julian in a very articulate way, but he checked him. Hey, bro, I know or not know, ignorant or not ignorant about what that word means, that's not the way it's supposed to be, and even your ignorance is the problem, too, of not knowing that that hurts people. So we're on the same page. As long as you get checked, and as long as, to like you said, Hawk, other people out there that are gaming and might say that word or other hurtful words, just to get checked on you shouldn't do that. And if you do, you're going to hurt people. And I even like the checking of, like, Riley Cooper, where I was saying, hey, if you got to see somebody on the, you know, I think he was with the Eagles at the time.
On the Eagles,
gotta
see.
If he got to see somebody on the eagle, he got to see somebody on the eagle. But just check that. You have to put your foot down and let them know this is not acceptable. And that's why I brought up Richie, because that hurt me with Richie, with a bunch of African-American teammates standing there, and you still feel like you can yell that word. So I like Myers being checked. I'm sure Jimmy, I'm sure Bam, I'm sure a lot of those other guys are going to go up and explain to him, even though they're not Jewish, but the racial slur side of it, like, we've been a part of these things in the past on a different, it's a different word, but it's on the same level. And I love that Julian came out as a Jewish athlete to speak on it. But yeah, check they ass. That's my point. Check they ass and let them know it's not okay.
And I'm with that. And honestly, like, if you gave me, like, what's the best possible outcome of something like this, to me, is it Myers Leonard never works again? Look, he's got millions, so it doesn't matter. Myers Leonard never works again, and he's considered the most hateful human being in NBA media history. No, my preferred outcome is what might happen there, which is maybe he does go to a Shabbat dinner with Julian Edelman and he starts to broaden his understanding of people with different religions and different backgrounds. So there you go. That's our little message at the beginning. And, now,
and no, on no to I want to say stuff. Something too. Just no, we'll get fun in a second, but just quickly, I've learned so much about the Jewish heritage knowing you. Years, you know, years and years. I went to your mm-hmm. son, your son's bar mitzvah, like years and years of knowing you. I've learned so much that I was ignorant to. I don't yell, you know, slurs right. about Jewish people, but I just learned so much. I didn't, you know, didn't know the struggle. I didn't know what you went, what Jewish people went through. And like a lot of guys probably don't. So my relationship with you taught me a lot, even though I didn't have any bad intentions in my heart. So that's what it is. It's really knowledge. It's really education about things. So to him, for him to go to out to eat with Julian really, and Julian to explain everything to him, it would be, it was like the enlightening part, the enlightening yep. moment when you started explaining, you know, the history of Judaism to me. And it was just, it was mind blowing to me. And I was like, damn, like I wanted to give you a hug when you were explaining all that to me. So yes, educate yourself on things like this. People, that's what I tell
a lot of people really aren't aware of other groups' struggles or prejudices because you're in your own group, and it's understandable. When I was a kid, I grew up in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, but I was a kid, though, on my way to school, we passed a country club every single day, and the sign said, no Jews. That was a big thing in the 70s for country clubs. No Jews, no blacks. The good country clubs, no Jews and no blacks. And that was just, it wasn't anything other than there was the big sign, no Jews. You didn't have to have the no black sign at this country club because I don't think there were many in our neighborhood. But there were plenty of Jews, and that country club had the no Jews sign out there. And it was just so people don't know other people's struggles, and that's yeah. fine. But again, if it all ends with Myers-Leonard having a Shabbat dinner with Julian Edelman, I mean, that's great. Isn't that what we want from anybody that might not have the tolerance that we wish everyone has, or not have the understanding that we wish everyone has? The ultimate goal is for them to open up their mind and then find that understanding and find that tolerance. So exactly. That was a nice move by Julian Edelman.
That's all the sports that's fit to be heard. I am Dan Day, social media at Dan Day Radio. Thanks so much for listening. Let's do it again tomorrow at 6 o'clock. It's 560 The Joe, Radio Rewind. Later, slug.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.